movement. Seeking growth in God's love. What a wonderful topic. What a thing. What an important thing that I hope we are all trying to do in our lives as Christians. Those of you who were here a few weeks ago will remember that Peter recently preached on the passage that has been read. It's not because it's no sign, it's no reflection on anything that Peter said that I'm speaking on it today. It's just such a good passage that really speaks into this theme of seeking growth in God's love. Last week we finished our sermon series on our shared values as a church, and I really hope that we have all internalized all six of them. Haven't we? And yes, we have. And today we start on the Inspire Movement's way of life, which has four parts. Could we have the next slide up, please? Thank you. Seeking growth, that's today's topic. And over the next few Sundays, we'll be looking at the others. Using disciplines, engaging mission, sharing fellowship. Do you know, Peter and I realised recently, these are so closely tied to our values as a church. It's really on God's heart that we are looking at this stuff and growing in it together, not just Headingley Morning, but the other gatherings as well. If you've tried to sign up for the 28th of March, the information is in the notice sheet as to how you can do that. If you've tried and it's not worked or it just seems a bit too complex, just tell me your name and any dietary requirements and I'll sign you up. Job done. Really, really can't make it more easy for you. So I'd like to ask you to think, as we begin to look at this topic of seeking growth in God's love, what is it that you long for? Finish this sentence for me, please, in the quiet. My life would be complete if only... dot, dot, dot. How would you finish that sentence? I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes. I'll just leave you with that. My life would be complete if only... dot, dot, dot. Discipleship, following Jesus, starts with seeking growth in God's love. In a nutshell, God's love is so deep, there's no bottom. His love is so deep, we never get to the bottom. We've been singing about that today. There's always more of God to know, and there's always more of his love to receive. Does this resonate with us? It's true. It's what the Bible teaches. The Bible encourages us actually to see hunger. Not hunger for food, but hunger for more of God. Hunger, desire, and longing for more of God in the Bible, these are signs of spiritual health. But complacency in our faith, thinking that we've arrived. Lukewarmness, not really being committed to Jesus. These are signs of spiritual sickness in Scripture. If we want to grow physically, we eat the right stuff, hopefully. If we want to grow spiritually and become more like Jesus, we need to eat the right stuff. Spiritual food, soul food. Peter's going to be unpacking a lot more of that next week as he looks at using disciplines. Jesus himself said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Speaking of soul food and seeking growth in God's love, Jesus is the bread of life. And by his Spirit, he gives us the water of life. Jesus satisfies spiritual hunger. Jesus satisfies spiritual thirst. Amen. But are you hungry for more of God? Or are you settling for your current Christian experience? If we could have the next slide up, please. It just poses that question. And that slide is going to look at you for the rest of the sermon. Are you hungry for more of God? Do you want to go deeper, I wonder, than you ever have into his love, into his plans? Do you want to experience more of his will for your life? Do you want more empowering from his Holy Spirit to live the life God's called you to do, which, let's face it, we cannot do without the equipping of his Spirit. Do you want to be fruitful in following Jesus? That was Paul's experience from the few words that we heard earlier on. Or maybe, it just may be, and it is possible, that you are content to coast and just drift along aimlessly throughout the rest of your Christian life. I don't think I'm out of place saying I don't think that's God's will for any of us. My life would be complete if only... .. I'm not asking for answers out loud, but I can only wonder what you might have said. Just returning to that question to keep your mind there. It might be that you want to talk about that with someone at the end. In this passage, Paul shows his own longing. He shows what he believes would complete his or fulfill his life. Our verse of the year. We could sing it if we wanted to. Maybe one day we'll do that again. Hope you can remember it. Paul wanted to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection. He wanted to know Jesus deeply, not just to know his life, but to share that life, not just to experience his power, but to live in the power of that power. He didn't want just to share in Jesus' life. He wanted to share in his sufferings so that he could become even more like Jesus. Paul was writing from prison, probably towards the end of his ministry. And let's face it, it was a remarkable ministry. Even after all of his achievements, he was still hungry to know Jesus better. This is a man with a rich spiritual heritage, a remarkable conversion experience. He'd seen miracles happen galore. He had a track record of sacrificial ministry. He is like the super apostle, isn't he? Yet he still desired to know Jesus better, and he could. And so can we. Paul's desire is not just to know more about Jesus, not to do more work for Jesus. It certainly wasn't to sign up for more rotas in the church. Paul's desire was to know Jesus as deeply as he could. Christian discipleship, then, is not just about our knowledge of the Bible, although that's important. I knew a guy who'd been a vicar for years before he became a Christian. Work that one out. Christian discipleship is not primarily about our service for God, although that's important. No, Christian discipleship is primarily about a living relationship with the living God, made possible only through the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus and the Holy Spirit he freely gives to transform us, not just once when we become believers, but moment by moment and day by day, that we might become even more like our Lord and Saviour. Do you have a relationship with God? You can if you want. Jesus has made it possible for us. And it can be as real and it can be as deep as you want it to be. I think sometimes we can forget that. You know, the vicar that I knew, who I mentioned, and many famous Christians like John Wesley, they knew a lot about God, but didn't actually know him personally. They thought they were working for him, but they didn't even know him at that stage. We all need a personal relationship with Jesus. We can know him personally. We can know and experience more of his love and power every day if we want to grow in that. This is what God longs for us. God longs, we've been talking about Paul's longings and our longings. What God longs for us is that we may know his love and not close ourselves off from it, but want more from it, that we can share it with others and that we can grow in experiencing and enjoying his love and his presence in our lives. Paul didn't just want to know more about Jesus. He wanted intimacy with Jesus. And this is what the Inspire movement is all about. Paul's desire was not driven by guilt or duty. It was driven by delight, delighting in Jesus, because he'd found the most wonderful thing he'd ever known, relationship with Jesus. And he wanted to share that with other people. He wanted to grow in that relationship. It's a beautiful gift, and it's worth giving up everything to receive. And the older Paul got, even the more mature he got as a Christian, he still realized there was more. There was more. There was more. I wonder sometimes if we settle for too little. For Paul, Christian experience was described in our passage in sharing in Jesus' suffering and experiencing his resurrection. He wanted to know the power of the resurrection. That means there is power for us from God now. Our discipleship, if we're honest, it might feel like a grim duty. It might feel like too hard work sometimes. It might feel boring. If it does, we've missed the point. It's a joy. It's a joyful privilege to know, serve, and follow Jesus. There is life in him and him alone. It starts with the joyful vision. Discipleship starts with the joyful vision of being offered a new life. We leave behind the old, like the first disciples who left their fishing nets, and we embrace the new. We often express that in baptism, but that's not the end. We keep going. It's important to realize that God is love, that God is loving. That's why Inspire starts with seeking growth in God's love. That's the first part of a disciple's way of life, if you like. Knowing that God is love and we are his loved children is the foundation, and discipleship grows from there. Knowing God better and being filled by the Spirit of Jesus, that we might become more like Jesus, gives us something to aim for, so that we don't just coast along. If we think about our lives, I think there were times when each one of us wanted something, and in order to get it, we've given something up. Maybe you can think of an example. I trust that if you can make the 28th of March, that you will register for that, that you will be inspired by what God is saying in all of this stuff over the coming weeks. And I also believe that if you need to give something up in order to come on the 28th, that God will bless that sacrifice that you've made in your commitment to him. If we have a deep desire for something, a goal, it leads to action, does it not? If we want to lose weight, it's hard, but we diet. If we want to get fit, it's hard, but we exercise. Maybe we do both those things for each of them. If we really want that qualification, it's hard, but we study, don't we? In fact, if we don't put in the work, if we don't show some effort, it really begs the question how much we really desired that thing in the first place. I've heard countless Christians say, I really want to know Jesus better, but I don't have time to pray or read my Bible, etc. And it's rubbish. It's nonsense. It's poppycock. It's absolute drivel. All of us can. We make time for the things that matter, don't we? If we care about something, we will prioritize that in our life. And what is more important than our relationship with Jesus? That was a rhetorical question. Thank you. Thank you for not answering that, but thank you for the amen. Paul's longing to know Jesus is not just something that he thinks is a good idea. It's something he gives everything to pursue and to deepen. He presses on, as he said in our passage. He strains towards what is ahead. In fact, he considers everything rubbish, even good things, compared to knowing Jesus. So folks, there is nothing better each one of us could have than a passion for God, a love for people, and a heart for mission. Please pray for ourselves, yourself, and us as a church, that we will grow in this. Because, you know, if we want more passion for God, if we want more love for people, if we want a bigger heart for mission, God is going to answer those prayers. Paul realized that he was called to a holy life, a Jesus-centered, Jesus-serving life. And he wanted to live that life to the full. We too are invited to join in, to live, to experience that life. Are you hungry for more of God? One important thing for us to remember in all of this is that Christian disciples, we never take the uniform off. We go on holiday from our jobs and our daily life, but we don't stop being Christians when we're there. We're always on duty, if you like. Hopefully, as time goes on, we will be looking more and more for what God is doing in our daily lives. What are the things that he's prompting us to do and say, where he wants to use us and only us in that situation? Really is a privilege to be a Christian. And it's so important, that prayer that was prayed for Maya earlier, that she will grow, knowing that she is God's child as well. It's so important. Discipleship is exciting. If we don't think it is, we've had bad experiences, which are a shame, or we've got the wrong impression. Because Jesus is anything but dull. And there is always something new to discover in our daily walk with God. I just want to share some short testimony, which I think is appropriate to do. Some of you know that, many of you will know that Rach and I had, we had a baby over the summer, our son Boaz. And sadly, his heart stopped beating 2 weeks before he was due to be born. Nobody, no medical professional can tell us why. We've been told he was perfectly formed, even on a cellular level. Everything was perfect, but for the fact that his heart wasn't beating. So this is a big thing to share, but I want to make a point from it. It's not that I can explain why it happened, because I can't. It's not because God has stopped being good, because he is. It's the fact that when we went to the hospital and we realised something was wrong, and the doctors and midwives had said, sorry, there's no heartbeat. And when we had confirmation of that, it didn't feel like our life. It felt like someone else's life. You know, I don't know. It didn't feel real. But as it was sinking in and being told his heart had stopped beating, and as our hearts at that point were very much on the floor and we were in shock, well, what did we do? We prayed. And we texted two friends whose names came to mind straight away. What did we pray? We prayed that God would bring our son back to life. And the friends that we texted are friends that we knew, first of all, would be up at that time in the morning, but second, they too believe that Jesus can raise the dead. They too believe that, as Jesus himself said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible for those who believe. The reason we texted those friends is because we knew they would believe and they would pray. And I sometimes in my life am guilty of not believing that all things are possible for those who believe. Sometimes I doubt. Sometimes I don't believe God is all powerful, or I don't live like I do, I should say. But when it comes to the crunch, when things are tested, the reason we texted those friends is that they are people who help us long for more of God. They are people who, by their friendship, make us hungry for more of God, even if they don't realize they're doing it. And folks, if you have people in your life who help you long for more of God, never let them go. And let them know how much they mean to you. Let them know how grateful you are for them. And pray that you and I and the rest of us can be those people for others. God is good. He longs to fill our longings. And I don't believe there are many righteous things to long for. I don't want to say anything heretical. But I don't think there's much more of a righteous prayer than, Lord, I would love more of you. He, our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father, only gives good gifts. So, next week, Peter will explore some of the ways that we can deepen our walk with God. I will say something ahead of that. Now that we are in Lent, fasting is a fantastic thing to do, accompanied with prayer. A fantastic discipline that I imagine Peter might mention something about. But in the meantime, as we're waiting anxiously for next Sunday morning, let's acknowledge there are a number of days between now and then where we can seek to deepen our walk with God. So what does it mean to you to press on, as Paul would say? What does it mean to you to press on, to take hold of all that Jesus wishes to give you? In conclusion, if you are hungry to grow in God's love, and you do something about that, He will fill you. He will fill you. So do sign up for the 28th of March if you can. We really do need to know numbers because we hope to feed you physically as well as spiritually. Just going to leave a very short moment where we can just listen back to anything God may have said to us. And then there'll be a time of response where each of us can respond to what God may have been saying.